I call to order the May 18th Ways and Means Committee hearing. Mr. Smith will note the roll. Representative Garofalo will move the minutes of the May 16th meeting. Are there any additions or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Minutes are adopted. The next item on our agenda, we are going to take up Representative Woodard's bill, House File 1001. It's my understanding that as it is amended, we have a fiscal note of zero. I will move House File. Mr. Anderson. All right, I've been informed that Representative Woodard has family duties and will be back shortly, so I will lay that on the table and I'll move House File 1024. Representative Stensrud, there's an amendment being passed out. Representative Stensrud, would you, if you please come to the stand, please. And members, I'll move House File 1024 to be heard by the committee. And the amendment that's being passed out, this particular bill is included in the state government finance omnibus bill. And the amendment that's being passed out just makes it clear that we would not count these reductions twice. Are there any questions on the, I'm sorry, I'll move the 202 amendment to House File 1024. Are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. Representative Stensrud, if you'd like to briefly discuss your bill as amended.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is a bill that really had its start in a survey, a study done by MAPE, and if much of these findings were brought forward by one of our former House Reps, Tony Sertich, had agreed with a lot of the with a reduction in some of the assistant commissioners and deputies. So we decided to bring that back. It received some bipartisan support in previous legislatures, and I decided to bring it in, and it is included in the state gov finance bill.
All right, thank you, members. Are there any questions? Representative Carl.
Madam Chair, is there a fiscal note that goes with
yes,
this?
Yes,
I don't seem to. Neither side of the aisle in this corner can find the fiscal note,
right.
Madam Chair.
Maybe it wasn't.
Maybe while someone's looking for a fiscal note, I know this issue has come up before, and maybe Mr. Stensrud could, or Representative Stensrud could explain his bill in a little bit more detail as to the number of assistance commissioners, public relations people, or whatever you've all included in the bill. We really haven't had a presentation of the bill here yet. And then we don't have a fiscal note, so maybe Mr. Stensrud or Representative Stensrud could give us some idea what the anticipated savings is and how many positions are left in a given department. My quick look at it, it appears that there isn't anybody left other than the commissioner, but maybe I'm not correct on that.
Representative Stensrud, I guess we do not have the fiscal note in the packet. We've seen it a couple times, so my apologies for that. I think they're going to get copies, but if you'd give Representative Carlson a little more detail, he would appreciate that.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Carlson, if you turn to page 5, total reductions in the general fund is $3,871,000. So that's the savings we can expect from the elimination of these assistant commissioners. Specifically, we allowed for an assistant, let's see, the Department of Veteran Affairs did leave. They were allowed to have one or to have two deputy commissioners, and they had a unique situation in given the medical side of their business, and then the Veterans Affairs really made a compelling case to keep those. And then if you look on page 3, starting at 3.14, starts referring to the deputies and reducing those numbers. I don't know if there were any specific questions, you know, about that. It's you never want to say it's a simple bill, but it does just remove those specific titles, I guess, and reduces some of the middle management.
Representative Carlson, I think that is, Representative Stensrud said, I think last session, a very similar bill was carried by Representative Sertich.
As I look at this bill, Madam Chair, this goes far beyond the bill that we had last session. We were reducing the number, but we allowed enough positions within a department so that the department could function. Perhaps Representative Kahn may remember, did the Sertich bill go through the division that you chaired last year, or...
Well, Representative Kahn.
I'm trying to remember what the history of it was, Madam Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I think we originally actually had that in the state government finance bill. And as I recall, one of the things was there was a reduction of deputy and assistant commissioners, but we didn't do it in every department. There was a choice. There was some level of choice. Some amount of the totals were reduced, and we gave the department... We gave the governor the ability to decide what departments needed them. When you look at the complexity of departments in the state, it kind of surprises me that the only department exempted is Veterans Affairs. I mean, it seems that there are far more complex departments in the state that have much more complicated need of someone besides just classified employees. And it was one of the reasons, as I recall, we had the veto message from the governor of that bill when he vetoed it was very complete. But of course, we should read Governor Pawlenty's veto message on this issue, which he says, at the same time, the bill eliminates appointed and unclassified employees throughout the executive branch. The work of these employees is critical in supporting the legislature's deliberations and managing the day-to-day operations of state government. I will not support such a deliberatively irresponsible action. So that's a direct quote from Governor Pawlenty's veto message. And I guess we agreed with him because we rewrote the bill without that elimination. So it's kind of surprising to see it come forward at this time.
All right. Representative Breinhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Stensrud, I'm just going to ask you specifically about the Department of Education. What leads you to believe that they have no need of at least one assistant commissioner?
Representative Stensrud.
Thank you, Madam Chair and representatives. I don't claim to be an all-knowing person about the Department of Education. I just know that it was a study done by the MAEP, and it seemed that it had credible, you know, value. So as we looked at it, it was proposed, and it did receive some support. So I don't have any real specific insight into the Department of Education.
Representative Breinhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I won't belabor the point, but I would say that some specific study is in order. The MAPE study did have a point, and that was that there was room for streamlining management. But to just do it across the board without some data on each department, I mean, the commissioners travel a lot. I know the commissioner of education's out in school districts a lot. Somebody needs to be in the department that has the authority to do the job, to sign the documents, to do, you know. So I think you can't run that department effectively without one assistant commissioner. That's my take on that department. I know a little bit about how it functions. So I would just say more study is needed in each instance.
Okay, Representative Downey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just quick clarification to Representative Brainerd's question. The bill actually allows for one deputy commissioner per agency and no assistant commissioners, and I think the intent is that a commissioner and deputy commissioner can fulfill the chief executive function required of the agency, and then other management level staff, not assistant commissioner and deputy commissioner classifications are required beyond that. So I think it's really just a way to clean up that top most senior level kind of CEO level type of appointments in each agency, as compared to trying to somehow neuter its ability to run its functions. That's not it. It's really just there's a CEO type function. You got two people, and then below that you have managers and people that run the functions.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Stenger. Thank you, Ryan. So Section 9 pertains to MnDOT, an agency that I have some interest in and oversight of. Can you talk to me about the four positions that are there now? Are they currently filled? And the rationale behind going from four to one in that department?
Representative Stenstrud.
Thank you.
It's line 4.28 through and on there.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Beard. Again, I didn't do the study. You know,
they don't know.
They took a look at those. It was seemingly a target-rich environment. Lots of positions within the department, and we don't rid the department of commissioners. So you know, we just decided they were really stacked in the middle management. Decided just to reduce the numbers of those and not hold them harmless, you know, in the reductions.
Would, Madam Chair?
Representative Beard.
Thank you. Would that be middle management, upper management? And when you say they took a look, who, remind me again who they is.
Representative Stenster. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Beard. It was the MAPE study.
MAPE?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, the MAPE study has been referenced with this bill. It was referenced with the earlier version that we talked about, and yet this bill, at least as I read it and as we talk about it, my memory begins to come back a bit. This one seems to go much deeper than the original bill that Representative Kahn talked about, which was built on the MAPE study. So of the author, Representative Stensrud, does this reflect the MAPE study, or are there other decisions that were made when the bill was put together that would make it somewhat different, or I guess dramatically different, as I recall, from the MAPE study that was referenced in previous legislative sessions?
Representative Stensrud.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think on the MAPE recommendations and some of the legislation, I believe that Representative Sertich had brought forward actually made even more reductions and specifically targeted, I think, a number of the governor's staff and went quite a bit deeper. And we didn't feel that that was necessary. So I guess my impression is that it's a little bit less intensive in that it allows the governor to keep some more of his key staff than some of the previous legislation did.
I'm talking about the commissioner level and not the governor's staff at this point. I think you said something like they, I'm not, who put this bill together, and what was the exact tie to the MAPE study? That's what I'm trying to get a handle on, because this does seem different from my recollections of the MAPE study as we talked about it when Sertich was the author and it went through the Finance Committee.
Representative Stensrud, if you clarify the differences between what the MAPE study addressed and what's in your bill.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair and members. I would say the MAPE study was really more of an inspiration for this legislation. It had some good ideas, so they selected some of those and put these in here. I won't make any claim to be an expert on the entire study, and probably am not prepared after our long night of deliberation to really give you maybe the specificity that you're looking for. I would perhaps defer to any of my other members here to clarify.
Madam Chair, then, I think you've answered my question. The MAPE study was the inspiration, and this isn't necessarily built on the MAPE study per se. So there is quite a difference here. I think, as other members have pointed out, in terms of a department's ability to function, the reference to Department of Education having no assistant commissioners, you've, with the exception of the Veterans Affairs, as I read this, you've really left only the commissioner, and you've pretty well removed everybody else. I think it's a bit of a misstatement, if you will, but I'm glad you did clarify that it was only an inspiration to say then that this is reflective of the MAPE study, and that's what I was led to believe with your introductory comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Kahn.
Mr. Speaker, and I'm sorry, Madam Chairman and Mr. Stensrud, would you please go through the bill and tell us exactly which department? I understand you have this general thing, but then you deal with specific departments. Would you tell us which specific department is in each section of the bill?
Representative Kahn,
I'm not sure what you've got to... Let me go specifically. I gather Section 4 is the Commissioner of Commerce.
Representative Kahn, if you might, there's a bill summary here that it's really easy to just go to each section. It talks about each section. Once again, our nonpartisan staff has done a good summary of the bill for us. Representative Anderson. Bruce.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Representative Stensrud, the bill still allows for one deputy commissioner to be appointed by the commissioner. Is that correct?
Representative Stensrud.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, that is my understanding.
All right. Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just in perusing here, even in this short amount of time, I think the fiscal note itself is actually very, very clear. The bill limits the number of deputy commissioners for each agency listed in statutes in 1506 to no more than one, except for the VA, as Representative Stensrud has already told us, and it eliminates all assistant commissioner positions. Matter of fact, this bill would eliminate 3 deputy commissioners and 39 assistant commissioners. I thought it was also interesting that the fiscal note on page 8 references MnDOT in particular, where it says 2 unclassified assistant commissioner positions would be affected, though they are still needed according to statute, but they would convert to a different classification. So I think the understanding here is that if the work needs to be done, there are other ways to accomplish this, and positions in our current HR policies other than an assistant commissioner. So certainly the work that needs to be done will get done, even in regard to this bill. And I think it is very I was able to just read it right out of the bill, and Representative Stensrud, when you introduced it, you clarified that as well. I don't think it's any more complicated than what you can read.
Thank you. Seeing no more discussion, I'll renew my motion that House File 1024, as amended, be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Stensrud.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Looks like Representative Woodard's in the room. We'll take his bill next. Representative Woodard, I will move House File 1001 to be considered by the Ways and Means Committee. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And members, as you'll see, there's a fiscal note in your packet with zero fiscal impact. Maybe Representative Woodard just wanted to come to the Ways and Means Committee at 7 o'clock in the morning after an all-night session. If you'd briefly explain your bill to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And the Judiciary Committee thought it would be wise to have the Ways and Means Committee take a quick look at this. But you're correct. There is zero fiscal impact according to the fiscal note. All we do is add the words felony theft to the state racketeering statute. And this is really regarding organized retail crime. I spent about 15 years with the Target Corporation dealing with organized retail crime in a previous lifetime, and this is a very serious issue that affects our local retailers like Target, like Best Buy, like all the companies that are very important to us, SuperValue and Hy-Vee Food, Sears, Pawn America. All these companies are very, very interested in this piece of legislation.
All right.
Madam Chair.
All right. Representative Woodard, I have been informed that your Senate companion actually has passed the Senate floor, so they're being identical, and I'm not sure whether the actual copy of Senate File 680 is in the packets.
My understanding, Madam Chair, is they are identical.
So what I'm going to have to do is actually move the Senate file for consideration, given that the Senate file has passed. Although we don't have a copy of the Senate file in our packets, I'm told that they're identical. If the committee would like, we can wait for copies of the Senate file to be made. No? Okay. Members, I would... I'm sorry, Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Woodard, what is the dollar amount, minimum dollar amount to be charged with felony theft?
Representative Woodard.
That is an excellent question. Representative Biskins, it is it's repetitive, so it includes three or more, so it is a pattern of criminal activity. And I'm going to look to some help from
Madam Chair. I think it's $500.
Representative Woodard.
Yep. Thank you, Madam Chair. It is. It has to be three separate criminal acts, and it does have to be over $500.
Representative Biskin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Woodard, is that $500 each time or $500 cumulative?
That's cumulative.
Representative Woodard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's cumulative, Representative Biskin.
All right. So, Madam Chair, Representative Woodard, then you have a 17-year-old who maybe neighbor's lawnmower and shoplifting a cell phone, and we're now potentially looking at racketeering charges on top of felony theft.
Representative Woodard.
Madam Chair and Representative Biskins, I'm sorry, that is not in the aggregate. That is in each separate count. So it would be three separate counts of $500 or more. Would fit the felony theft in the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Biskins. Representative Westrom.
Madam Chair, and it really isn't the issue here. I'll raise it just because maybe it can be thought about before the floor. When's the last time 500 was raised? Because it seems to me when I was a youth or junior high and studying the little bit of law you get in school, $500 was in the place. Is that right? And I mean, at some point, do we raise that number with inflation, or is it just good to keep it at 500?
Representative Woodard.
Madam Chair, Representative Westrom, that's certainly a larger question that we'd have to look at with the definition of felony theft. In this particular bill, we wanted to keep the existing language that we have in statute.
Representative Reinhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Woodard, I might need the statute book to figure this out, but I'm looking at the bill, and I'm looking at my bill brief, and I'm trying to, supposedly the bill defines retail establishment and retail property and value, but I don't see any of that here. Am I missing something?
Representative Woodard.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure what your summary says regarding the definition of a retail organization. I'm gonna, if you don't mind, I'm gonna have Amber. She may have some insight for that.
Welcome to the committee, Ms. Backus. Maybe you can help with.
Yeah, thank you, members. Good morning. I'm Amber Backus, Leonard Street and Dinard, here on behalf of Super Value and a number of organizations supporting this legislation. I'm not sure what summary you're referring to, Representative Reinhart, but the bill just adds felony theft to the racketeering statute. There are no additional changes with regard to definitions. As it was introduced, the bill was much broader and would have set up an organized retail theft crime, but that was deleted in the bill due to concerns related to Representative Biskins and others.
Thank you for that clarification, Ms. Backus. Any additional questions? Seeing none, I will renew my motion that Senate File 680 be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay.
No.
Motions prevails. Thank you, Representative Woodard. All right. Members, the final bill that we will take up today in committee is House File 959. But prior to doing that, we need to adopt an amendment to the Ways and Means targets, spending targets. And so I'd like to go to that first, and you should have a copy of both the targets as originally adopted and amended three times by the committee. That would be the fourth version of the resolution. In addition, there should be a 15-1 amendment in your packet. And I don't know if Mr. Marks has had more sleep than I have in the last 3 days, but I'm going to count on him to be able to explain this more succinctly than I can at this point.
Madam Chair and members, there should also be a spreadsheet. It's actually two pages stapled together in your packets. The resolution, the amendment to the budget resolution would make two changes. In the amendment, line 1.4, changes the total spending number from 34,255,727 to 34,243,266. And then the second line, line 1.5, changes the capital investment number from it increases the capital investment number by 10 million. If you go to the spreadsheet, I think this will help explain it. The first page, the last column shows the differences there from the current resolution to the proposed changes. And you can see going down under capital investment, the proposed change is a $10 million increase. Then if you go to the total number, that the line 1.4 in the amendment decreases the total spending by 12,461. The effect of those two changes, however, is that the other bills category, which is not named in the resolution but is the difference between the total and the bills that are listed, is decreased by 22.461 million. And if you go to the lower part of the resolution, that's listing what's now tracked in the other bills category. And you can see the items there. Senate File 509 is the photo ID at 3,009, which was the House position there. House File 104, the claims bill at 61,000. House File 1025, the energy bill, is at zero. It actually, I believe, it appropriates 207,000 and raises 207,000, so that's why it's at zero. House File 66, the campaign checkoff repeal. This was the amendment that, the Eakin amendment that was added on the House floor to House File 66. That eliminates a $3,520,000 appropriation.
There was discussion on the House floor, so I listed it here, House File 1023, the primary seatbelt change. There actually was no revenue change assumed in that one. We've talked with the Department of Public Safety about that. Then House File 1234, the strategic sourcing bill, the appropriation of $433,000 was added on the House floor. And then the proposed spending in House File 959, the bill we're about to take up, is $7,554,000. So the proposed change to the resolution would accommodate these bills and leaving no additional money in the other bills category.
Are there any questions on the 15-1 amendment? Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I think we need to have a bit of a discussion. Some of us, including the chair, serve on the Capital Investment Committee, and had some conversations with a couple of members about when we talked about the other bills was that there was perhaps some funds available there then if there were to be a bonding bill beyond what you're going to have this morning, that there was some money available for debt service. So under this newly revised budget resolution, then, are you saying that there definitely will not be a bonding bill?
Representative.
Or where would the debt service come from? Because I understand we're not taking up the cancellations either.
Right, Representative Carlson, as we've mentioned a number of times relative to the other bills category and flood relief, it was always our intent to pay for that. Under that category, there was a change in the cut target, if you will, to the capital bonding omnibus bill, and that originally was 70, is now 60. At this point, there is no plan that I'm aware of to have additional bonding bill in the House that would actually spend money, if you will. But today what we're looking at doing is doing a bill that will have, as Mr. Mark said, $5 million in cash for FEMA match money as requested by the governor, and then bonding of a total of $45 million for flood relief projects.
And Madam Chair, I understood that part of it. My question was the future and what this amendment means for future discussions relative to any other bonding bills beyond the flood mitigation that is before us today. There were some minor projects, one that you did have on the agenda today. I'm not sure if it's still on the agenda as I look at it. I think it is.
Yeah, it is. Representative Carlson, it is on the agenda, but this is the last bill we're going to do the target resolution amendment and then one bill related to flooding today.
Yeah, and so you had originally scheduled the Coon Rapids Dam, so even a minor capital investment bill then is at this point in time, unless we come back and further amend the budget resolution, off the table.
Let's see.
It sounds from listening to Mr. Marks, Madam Chair, that there isn't anything really left on the bottom line, then you've pretty well buttoned down the hatch. I don't know if the chair of the Capital Investment Committee has any thoughts on any future activity in that committee then or not. We haven't met frequently because we had a negative target, and what was originally before this committee was basically the total work of the committee to this point. And time is running short. So I serve on both committees, so I have an interest in, from the standpoint of what the role of that committee is going to be in the days ahead, or even the interim for that matter, I guess. But the governor had a bill that he was proposing $1 billion, 500 million of which was identified projects, and then the other 500, I think he left it open to the legislature or the majority party to fill that in. So I guess what I'm saying is, Madam Chair, this amendment is a very significant amendment in terms of what's available for capital investment and or maybe some other categories of bills. I don't know if you're planning on convening the Ways and Means again then or not. Just before we vote on this, kind of wanting to know what the roadmap is, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Representative Carlson, I would be surprised if there wasn't some reason that we'd have to have another Ways and Means Committee meeting. I'm hopeful that this is the last one, but as you know, on the end of session, things change, and it might become necessary to have another meeting. At this point, there is no plan to have another bonding bill that would approve projects. At this point, certainly we're, you know, talking with the governor about different options. If it comes to a point where that's something that people can agree on, you know, it may be considered, but there's certainly no plan at this point to do anything beyond the emergency funding for the local match and the flood bonding projects. And it is our intent to move this fairly rapidly. We'll get the committee report signed this morning, so that it'll be reported to the floor today.
Yeah, well, Madam Chair, I would encourage members then to vote no on the resolution, because it does, I think, button down the hatches earlier than what we may need to if we wanted to have meaningful discussions about a capital investment bill in the days ahead.
All right, thank you. Any other questions on the 15-1 amendment to the budget target resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay.
No.
The amendment's adopted. Representative House.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move on to 959, recommend to pass and send it to the General Register.
All right, thank you.
And before I explain the bill, Madam Chair, I have a delete all amendment. If we could adopt the A11-0513, I guess.
All right, Representative House, I've been informed by staff that on the final motion we should also include a direction to the staff to make technical corrections to the amendment. I think this nice pink note comes from Ms. Novak. And so when we get to that point, we'll want to be sure to do that. But in order to get the bill in which the shape the author would like to discuss, all those in favor of the 513 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Representative House.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this is flood mitigation money. It's $45 million, of which on page 2, about starting about line 26, it is three projects are identified that up to $6 million on one, up to $3 million on another one, and up to $16.5 on another one are identified. The rest of the money would be used by the Department of Natural Resources in the way that they see fit and the best places to put it in the state. And then also, excuse me, Madam Chair, I'm just a little tired. There's also $5 million in here.
Section 6 of the bill, starting at the very bottom of page 3.
Yeah, that's where it is.
And
thank you.
On the top of page 4.
And that's for a FEMA match, and I believe that's cash, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes, that was cash. And then also on page 4, there's it starting with line 11, it says flood hazard mitigation grants. That was a $25 million flood mitigation bill that passed in 2006. There is money left over. I believe it's about $600,000 and change. And if we pass this, the DNR could use that money to add to their work with flood mitigation.
All right. Members, are there any questions on House File 959 as amended? We did also have the opportunity to discuss this with Representative Hausman, who's in the audience, and she, I think, would be in support of this measure as well.
I believe she is. I can't speak for her unless she nods or shakes her head.
Thank you, Representative Hausman. Seeing no further questions.
Madam Chair, was there a technical change?
Just if you would note in your final motion that we should direct staff to make technical corrections. And members, we never got the, we've got letters from the administration, but we didn't actually get bill language that we could find. So we tried to reflect on page 2, lines 26 through 31, reflected the numbers that were provided to us in a letter from the administration. Mm-hmm. So, Representative Howes,
Madam Chair, I would renew my motion that House File 959, as amended, and allow staff to make technical changes, be passed and recommended to pass, sent to the general
register. Mr. Chair,
Representative Abler.
Oh, I have an amendment. Is that okay?
Pardon?
I have an amendment.
Representative Abler, the budget resolution that we did allows for this much spending on a flood mitigation program. At this point, we're not moving any other bonding projects.
Okay, I have just some language. That
Madam
doesn't
Chair.
Cost any money.
Representative Abler.
Representative Howes, is that appropriate?
Representative Howes.
Madam Chair, Representative Abler, there were a lot of amendments similar to yours, that were language only. Some actually saved some money, but we didn't want to get into a race to see how many we could get and how many we could do. We wanted to get this $45 million of flood mitigation money to the governor as soon as possible so they could start work on it. Your amendment, I would appreciate if you'd withdraw it or not offer it, and we'll fight another day.
Fair enough.
All right. All right. Seeing no other discussion, Representative Howes has renewed his motion that House File 959, as amended, be recommended to pass, referred to the general register with the direction that staff to make technical corrections. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Howes. And I think that is all to come before the committee, so the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, members.